Back before my girlfriend Jenny and I officially started dating, we would still hang out all the time. We both snowboard, and her family has a little cabin-type house in Vermont not far from Stowe Mountain Resort. This was around our maybe 10th time hanging out. She invited me to go up there for a weekend with her to go snowboarding for the first time together. It was like a 5-hour drive. As we neared her little house, we spent about half an hour on this very windy, secluded road on which we'd pass occasional driveways that would lead up into properties blocked off by walls of trees. We were way up there in the mountains. The sight of other cars by this point was something to behold. It really felt like we were alone up there. A lot of the driveways didn't even have tire marks in the snow, meaning even a lot of the houses were void of people. Jenny told me that's because a lot of the houses here were owned by people out of state, just like her situation. I was going like 30 when she yelled at me to slow down, it's coming up. So I hit the brakes, and this little opening in the trees that I otherwise would have missed came up. We drove this narrow trail in four-wheel drive, which led to this small house covered in snow. It looked incredibly cozy. We parked, and first thing we did was turn the heat on in the little house. We unloaded our stuff inside, and since it was already getting dark that night, we just cooked some of the food we packed for dinner and watched a movie. Pursuit of Happiness, actually. So the house had just about everything, heat, electricity, except running water. Her family had jugs and jugs of water for important things like washing hands and plates and stuff. But there was no working toilet, so she told me we had to use the outhouse outside. I only had to go pee that night, so I just went out to the front deck and peed into the snow. It was also snowing out that night. We fell asleep at some point during the second movie we watched, and we woke up pretty early to our phone alarms. We wanted the freshies on the mountain. We started getting ready to drive up to the ski resort. After breakfast, I had to go out to the outhouse, though. I ran out to the outhouse in my shoes, and my feet started to freeze. On my way to the outhouse, though, I saw footprints in the snow. They were kind of big, but I couldn't tell if they were boot marks or animal prints. I followed the trail, and it actually wrapped around the house and then went into the woods. I called Jenny outside, and she came to look and said it was probably a black bear since they're everywhere up here. So I went, did my business, and we set off to the ski resort, where we had a good 8-hour run. Afterwards, we stopped at a diner to eat, and then went back to the house. By this point, it was pitch black outside and snowing again. We set up a fire and got the heat on full blast and started blasting some music. We started to drink, and eventually I had to break the seal and pee. But also, if I was throwing my boots on anyway, I figured I'd do all my business in the outhouse. I ran out into the snowstorm and to the outhouse once more. This time I slammed the door shut to prevent snow and cold air blowing in my face. I heard the blasting music from inside the house still, but then over that, I heard the crunching sound of footsteps in the snow, passing the outhouse. "Jenny?" I yelled. No answer. The footsteps just walked away. I brought my phone with me, so I just texted her, "Are you outside?" It didn't immediately deliver though, because my cell reception sucked up there. A few minutes passed and I was still in the outhouse. I was just about to finish when the blasting music suddenly stopped, and it was just pure silence, minus the sound of snowflakes hitting the ground outside. As soon as I stepped out of the outhouse, I realized it was pitch black out here now. The lights from the house were off. I figured maybe the power went out. I used my phone's flashlight and noticed a fresh pair of footsteps in the snow leading to the house. I followed the footsteps to the front door, where they seemed to stop, then continue around the house. I banged on the door and yelled Jenny's name. Suddenly the door opened and an arm pulled me inside the house. It was Jenny. She slammed the door shut and locked it. She whispered that there was a man who tried to open the door, which she locked as soon as I went to the outhouse because she was scared being alone. When she saw the person at the door wasn't me, she cut the power and hid in a corner in the living room and watched in horror as a stranger walked past the living room window slowly, looking inside. I came to the door only a couple minutes after this happened. Jenny told me about the secret cellar in the floor that her dad kept a couple rifles and shotgun in. Navigating in the dark, I found the handle to it and lifted it open. Now using my flashlight, I climbed down the little ladder and grabbed one of the guns off the wall. We then waited on the couch in the dark, afraid to turn the lights back on, exposing ourselves to whoever was out there. The closest neighbors were not a short walk. Jenny said it wouldn't have been any of them, and odds are they weren't even in Vermont right now. Once again, the only sound was the sound of snowflakes hitting the ground outside, until the sickening sound of footsteps in the snow outside returned. I took the loaded gun and marched to the front door, opened it, and shot like 3 rounds into the air, screaming. The footstep sounds were gone. I'd imagine they ran off, and the sound of the shots echoing into the air masked the sound of the footsteps running away. We left the next morning under the recommendation of her father, who said it's best to not be there at the moment. They don't really have anything they're worried about being stolen, so we just got the hell out of there the next day. At least we got our full day of snowboarding in. That horrific night was definitely an experience, to say the least. I live in England, and for others who live here, you may remember it snowed quite a lot in the winter of 2018. I used to love the snow, but after what happened, I'm no longer a fan of it. My immediate family was going to visit extended family in Cornwall for the weekend. I didn't want to go. I don't get along with them very well, and would much rather have stayed at home, so I faked an illness. I wasn't expecting it to work, but it did. They went without me and left me in charge of the house, which I was fine with. For the record, I was 16, so it's not like they were being irresponsible. Saturday was great. I went on my computer, watched Netflix, and played in the snow with my dog for a bit. She loves the snow more than anything. That evening, I was just finishing up a mission on Call of Duty World War II, when I started to get hungry. The house is full of food, but mostly food that takes a lot of effort to prepare. I decided to go to the fish and chip shop in the village. By now, it was getting dark outside, and the snow had stopped falling, but it had gotten really deep. I grabbed a tenner and crammed it into my pocket, before pulling on a coat and heading outside. The route I take involves going down a tree-lined snicket that has a few street lamps for light before coming out near the main road where the chippy is. By the time I got there, it was dark out. I got some chips, battered sausage, and started to head back home. I was halfway down the snicket clutching my meal, when I heard it. In the trees just to my right, a twig snapped. My head whipped around, but I couldn't see anything. My heart was racing, but I tried to convince myself it was just an animal. Until I heard it again, two snaps in rapid succession. Now I was scared. I began to walk home fast, and I forgot about what was coming up. The last section of the snicket, which was almost pitch black. The bulb in the street lamp had blown months ago, and the council couldn't be bothered to fix it. I sighed with frustration and worry, and carried on walking before I heard it. The continuous sound of twigs breaking stopped for a moment, before being replaced by crunching. I stopped and turned around, and my heart stopped. I could see a black figure silhouetted by the lamp further down the snicket, a black figure who was running straight at me. I turned around and full-on sprinted through the snow. I burst out of the snicket and ran to my house, which was only about 10 meters away. I got my keys out as I was running, and I jammed them into the lock as soon as I was close enough. I threw myself into the house and slammed the door shut behind me, locking it. I looked out of the door window and saw nothing. The streets were deserted. It wouldn't be that bad if it ended there, but it didn't. Paranoia kept me up late, and close to midnight, the dog started making a racket, barking and scratching at the back door. I knew deep down what she was barking at, but I didn't want to believe it. I went to the back door, but it was too dark to see anything. I steeled my nerves and flicked the light switch to once again see nothing. The back garden was empty. I dragged the dog away from the door and went back to watching TV, but something was nagging me. I couldn't think what it was. The back garden was undisturbed apart from my footsteps leading up to the back door from when I came home. That's when it hit me. I came in the front door. My veins turned to ice, and as I walked to the back door, I realized something was very wrong. I could feel cold air on my face. I walked around to it and stopped dead. It was wide open. The build of my house gives three different options when you enter the house: the living room, where I was, kitchen, or stairs. As I slowly backed into the wall, I heard a light but clear thump upstairs. With that, I grabbed the dog, grabbed my phone, and ran straight to the neighbors, and due to it being midnight, I rang the bell about 10 times before getting a response. They were furious about being woken, but when I told them what was going on, they let me straight in. The police took about 40 minutes to arrive because of the snow that was once again falling heavily, and when they did come, they did a thorough search of the house. They found nothing. The footsteps were all filled in by the snow. But the CCTV showed a figure running straight out of the back door soon after I left and hopping the fence at the end. They disappeared into the woods behind my house. It kills me to know he's still out there and that he knows where I live. I'm sleeping more steadily now, and we have a new lock on the door. And for a while, I was constantly worried for me and my family's safety. I'm 27 years old. This happened when I was 26. My mom passed away a few years ago. My dad is blind. My dad sold a very successful energy company when I was young, though, so we have money and multiple properties which we rent out. Obviously, I have to do my part in helping out given the circumstances. I help manage most of the properties. My dad lives in his one-story condo about 10 minutes away from us. The condo is walking distance to the village, which has grocery stores and anything he could need. My sister Katie and I live in the house that we all used to live in together as a family. Our dad gets by himself with basic things like shopping and taking care of himself, but we have to bring him to further away things like doctor visits and whatever he can't walk to. This happened during a winter storm. Katie was at her boyfriend's house half an hour away from home, so I was home alone. The snow was coming down heavily, and I thought to call my dad and check in on him. He has a landline phone because that's easier for him to use rather than a smartphone. He does have a smartphone, but he's stubborn about using it sometimes. When I called, it rang 4 times, then went to voicemail. So I called again, and the same thing happened. Normally, he would rush to the phone to call back whenever we call, so I waited a few minutes before calling one more time when I saw he wasn't calling back. He once again went to voicemail. I left a message asking him to call me back. I called Katie, asking if Dad said anything about going out in this weather, and when she said no, he didn't, that's when I got worried. I didn't like the idea of him being out in a blizzard, so I drove over to his condo. The roads were so bad that there were hardly any cars on the road. My phone kept vibrating, giving a winter storm advisory warning. These were no conditions for my dad to be out walking around in. As I pulled up to his condo, I did notice footsteps in the snow going both ways, indicating he must have gone out and just gotten home. I knocked on the front door and yelled, "Dad, it's me," and a few seconds later, the neighbor's wife, an elderly woman named Hannah Laura, opened her door and said hello with a smile, telling me her husband just gave my dad a lift to the store a few minutes ago. We talked for a minute, then I thanked her as she closed her door. I figured I might as well let myself into my dad's condo to wait since I was already here. Naturally, before looking for my key, I tried twisting the doorknob, and to my disappointment, it opened the door. My dad didn't lock the door again. I told him so many times to stop doing this because one day someone would break in, even if we live in a nice area. I shut the door behind me, but then I noticed something peculiar. There were melted snow tracks on the wood floor, leading past the living room to the little hallway, which leads to my dad's room. "Dad," I called. "Did he get home just before I got here?" But that wouldn't have explained Hannah Laura's husband not having returned yet. Well, maybe it could have. Maybe he dropped my dad off and then ran his own errands. These were the thoughts I was having as I was slowly following the tracks. I called Dad one more time, this time louder. I didn't hear the shower running, so why wouldn't he be able to hear me? Something wasn't right. He would have answered. I started calling my dad's cell number, and I heard it in the bedroom down the hall. Maybe he was home. I went down the hall into my dad's empty room. He wasn't there. I saw his phone vibrating on the nightstand next to his bed. I looked at the ground and saw the melted snow tracks lead to his bathroom in his room. The door was closed. I went over to knock on it and said, "Dad," one final time. No response. I slowly opened the door, and the bathroom was empty. But there was something unusual I noticed right away, and that was the shower curtain. It was pulled shut. My dad always leaves the shower curtain pulled open. I know this for a fact. On top of this, the door being shut was also unusual. He leaves all doors and such open to make navigating easier for himself. I looked at the shower curtain for a moment, then closed the door, walked to the front of the condo, shut the door, and called 911. I waited in the front of the condo, the only entrance and exit. Police showed up surprisingly quickly given the conditions. We went back inside of the condo together and right into my dad's room, where we saw a man sitting on the bed with his hands in the air, as if he knew we were coming and he waited there. My dad got home about 10 minutes after this, in time to hear everything that happened. The man who broke in lived a few units down according to his ID. That meant this man had been keeping an eye on my dad and his place for a while, with plans to break in and rob him. I think I learned where the saying "rob him blind" came from after this. My dad, being the kind soul he is, didn't even want to press charges, but we persuaded him to hire a lawyer. The man was charged with third-degree burglary, and he's still in jail to this day.